Anna Stretton is a name you might not yet associate with prison, but for 5 years, the fashion designer and social entrepreneur and her sister Rebecca, who works in mental health, have been working with women prisoners, female prisoners, helping them find a way out of the vicious cycle of drugs, addiction and violence. And they've set up a program, it's called Raw on the Inside, and they have successfully reintegrated what amounts to 9% of the female prison population back into the community and helped more than 180 women still in prison. And Anna has now published a book telling these stories in the hope of helping others. She joins me in the studio now. Hello.
Hi, Jesse.
I was at WinTech on Monday night handing out some honorary degrees and your name came up. You've got one of those honorary degrees
as well. I have. I was actually supposed to be at that event on Monday night, but yeah. I got a very sick little Frenchie,
so to hear that, the mothering thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's great recognition for the work that you've done. And I imagine it was the fashion and some of this other stuff as well that was being recognized.
No, well, the honorary degree was for fashion. Mm. Yeah, so that was a long time ago. That just kind of dates me, but
When did you decide that fashion wasn't enough?
Well, I think fashion is always fashion's still there for me, but for me I think it was more the other way, that we were wanted to be more than fashion. So it was about how we contributed to communities along the way. So we've always sort of had that philanthropic vein that pumped through the commercial side of what we did.
You could have planted trees next to a creek, you know what I mean? Like going into a woman's prison is pretty intimidating.
Yeah, I think for me it was more when I set up my foundation in 2013, it was looking at where the gaps were. So rather than just replicating some of the things that were happening, look at where some of the bigger challenges were. And for me, I suppose when you work in the entrepreneurial space, you're all about getting outcomes. And especially given that initially it was my own money that was going into that space. So, you know, I had to make it work. So
how did you start?
Well, the very tiny story of that is part of the philanthropy that we were doing ran into the Waikato Women's Refuge, Te Whakaruruho. They came out to see me to get me to assist them, sort of drive their financial platform and connect them and sort of create a more robust business platform for them, because I do believe charities need to think a little more like businesses to be sustainable. And it was there that I started to think about change models. You know, I saw the wonderful work refuge were doing in crisis, and I started to think about a demographic, because they were a Māori women's refuge, a demographic that were vulnerable, that were living in very disadvantaged sort of environments. How could I actually come up with a change model that would give them choice? So that's how it kind of all started.
Yeah. And then at some point you went and knocked on the door of the prison and said, can I help?
Well, I mean, I started with refuge, women from refuge. I set up mentor-mentee relationships. So people, women like myself walking alongside a woman from refuge, they're essentially young Māori girls from the gang, endeavouring to negotiate education, you know, work, just supporting them generally to move forward. That didn't work. And like every good entrepreneur, I'm so used to things not working. I mean, that's kind of the building blocks of my success. So it didn't work. It didn't work because women in crisis are not ready to make change. So then I sort of thought, well, where can I find another demographic that could utilise some of this stuff and some of these partners that I've got and this passion that I have for the work? Mm. So the women's prisons came under my radar. You know, it's a stabilised population. They're potentially thinking about change. The discipline's ended their life. The chaos is gone.
Captive audience.
Yeah. You know, that's the logical thing. It is a captive audience. Yeah. So that's why I'm such a big fan of the prisons. I'm probably the only person in this country that is. But, you know, they are certainly the circuit. You know, they are the interrupters. And we've got a wonderful space now that we could choose to create a non-negotiable platform of learning. And we could really change outcomes for women and men.
Now, excuse me, and some people will know the story of what you've achieved in there, but where does the book come in? This beautiful book, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, the book...
It was only ever going to be beautiful with you as a designer.
Well, that's what we do. But I think the thing is, we've only got 20 copies too, so you're very special getting one of the... well, that was our pre-release. But the book is about capturing the journey now before we all kind of forget, because it has been a journey of, my board would call our strategy very adaptive. You know, I've twisted and turned and changed. And I think you do that in a business space or an entrepreneurial space. If something's not working, you don't continue to do it. That's the government space. The entrepreneurial space is where you actually, hey, this isn't working. We've got to actually think about it again. So I wanted to capture that. I also wanted to capture the stories of the woman. So the book is a really strong mix of our journey, but also even more so, it's captured stories of women that have borne their heart and soul, really. And if you got a chance to read some of the stories, because I realise the book is big, that women have to live in that way, that they've travelled those journeys, is possibly not where a lot of us would think that, a lot of us would not understand that is actually the journey of too many in this country.
Could you share a couple of those stories with us? Crystal's is quite a good one, quite a harrowing one.
Well, I think there's a lot. There's a lot that are strong. There's a lot that have been through more than Crystal. Crystal happened to be the start of the model for me because she agreed. She was part of the Refuge. Crystal's not been to jail. She was part of the Refuge startup space for me, where she agreed to talk to me. She was a child of the mob and had two children. She'd found herself in Refuge. She agreed to walk alongside and sort of induct me into that journey and that lifestyle, and it was there that I created the model. So I think we've got to understand that a lot of those journeys that you read about, those women don't necessarily identify them as being difficult when they're in them, because it's their normal. It's the way that they've, they don't know any different. So if you can't benchmark or compare that, it becomes your normal, and everyone around you's living in that space or living in that way. So it's only when you come into our space that you see there's another way to live.
As you've alluded to, it's not as simple as going in there and saying, hey, good news, I'm going to be your mentor.
No, when I first started, I thought, if I create the Hilton, everyone will want to come and stay. I mean, how wrong I was, because if you don't want, not everyone wants to go and stay at the Hilton, It was about me taking my normal to them and overlaying that, and that was so wrong. But you have to learn that. Now it's very much about what the woman want, nothing about us without us. So it's very much a community led, and my community is the offending community.
But you find the right way in and the right person, the right approach. I mean, talk about Renna, for example. She was very reluctant at first, right?
Yeah, well, Renee was very much a... She was interesting because she'd been to jail. So she'd had 8 years in an Australian prison. So that was our first sort of induction into that space. And she worked with ICE. I mean, they call it ICE there, not meth. So she had lots of knowledge, gave us lots of insight. She also came into the prisons with us, and she became a draw card because she gave us credibility. I mean, I can't go into a prison and, no one wants to speak to me. I mean, I have no connection or no relevance to those women. So you've got to look for the influences. You've got to develop the relationships, and that's got to be with the offending woman. Just as in the same way in fashion or in the commercial sense, finding the Kim Kardashian of the prison is what you need to do.
Yeah. But you did pair her up with someone though, right?
Police officer. Well, she was the first part of the model, the mentor-mentee, and right. We paired her with a police officer, which was that wasn't something that she actually reacted well to, but the pairing worked really, really well. And she's still around us today. I mean, I helped give her a testimonial sort of slash referee for her to join a security firm, because she has been clean and has been functional for such a long time now. So, she's really starting to live a purposeful life.
So what does the model look like in 2019? What is a typical
now?
Story?
Yeah. Today it's two parts. So there are women that exit that come to Hamilton, and there's incubated living spaces where we wrap around them with a 360 sort of wraparound support, which will be work, which will be study, all sorts of different things around that lifestyle skill, and there'll be any sort of treatment that exists that's come out of that correction space. So we work in that space using women that have actually come through the model to assist us grow the other woman. So it's very much offender contributed in that space as well, and that's part of our succession journey, is using the ex-offenders to actually continue to develop the role model. On the inside, we worked actively at Auckland Women's, which is out in Wiri, where there's 460, so it's our largest women's prison, and we also work in Wellington at Arahata and Rumataka, and we build a pipeline. Now that pipeline, some will come to Roar in Hamilton, but a lot of them will not. They'll be going off into different areas. So the goal there is to create the opportunity, is open up the spectrum of what is actually achievable, create a sense of self-worth, really start to think about a different journey for the woman on exit.
And does that work?
Yeah, it really does work, and it works because it's offender driven. So it didn't work when we were endeavouring to work through the staff of corrections. There was very little appetite. Yeah. So it wasn't until we actually got alongside the woman and we were allowed to operate independently inside. So there's up to, I think there's 150 that have connected with us in Auckland Women. Now there's only 460 there. That's women that we're helping at all sorts of different levels. Every Thursday, I'm inside the prison with a different presenter or speaker. Now those speakers are really diverse. I can take someone in that's is going to teach them floral art, or I can take the head of the New Zealand Speakers Association, or there's all sorts of different people that I take in there, but it's all about showing them that there's another world out there of opportunity that truly does and would accept and work alongside them.
And what does it take to actually change a life, to change some of the choices they make when they get out of prison?
Well, the first thing is that this is a huge journey that I'm trying to unpick, you know, a journey of birthright in many cases. So I've actually got to develop a relationship of trust, and that takes a long time. So I've been in the prison now operating on the basis of one day a week for over a year, and, you know, only now just starting to see that those women actually trust that I will be able to deliver, that I won't walk away. You know, corrections is a space where a lot of people see opportunity to run all sorts of different programs and initiatives, and, you know, hope that they'll generate income off that. And so they see a lot in there that they don't trust. So for me, it's about building that relationship of trust that will continue on the outside. And it certainly does. When, if girls don't come to us and they exit, they've got, you know, my contact, and they're able to get in touch with me. I'm often, as my Saturdays and Sundays are full up with sort of coffees and breakfasts, and all with ex-offenders. And I love that space.
Mm. Do you ever regret it? Live to regret it?
Live to regret
having your contacts freely available?
No, no. Why? I mean, I trust the woman as much as they trust me. Nothing's ever happened.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it, you know, it's the way and it's the perception that we bring that's creating the problem. You know, it's the way that we choose to lock them up and then disconnect from them once they exit, so they'll go back to a space where they feel comfortable, which is exactly what you or I would do. You know, we've got to think a little differently around what we're doing if we want to get the change.
How have you changed?
Oh, massively, massively. I mean, the, you know, I've absolutely found my balance. And working in fashion, it can be at times a very narcissistic space. It's not always the best space to be in, and the types of things that you channel or chase are not that worthy. In this space, you know, all of my outcomes are measured in sort of human capital, I suppose. And, you know, I love the fact that I've got so many women around me now that I value, and I see traveling a journey of joy and purpose. Women that have been connected back with their children, how could I not want to be in this space? Mm. You know,
do you want to keep growing, or are you about the right size?
No, you know, we can be as big as we need to be. You know, I would like a much bigger voice from the point of view of the government space, correction space. I mean, I'd love some sort of informal partnership in Auckland Women's where we can continue to really try some things. You know, the Waikato University have been working in there with me. They've created an entrepreneurial paper for the woman. 20 women. Waikato University gave me all the tutors, all the equipment. They paid for all of that. They marked and loaded all the papers, and all the women passed. Now, corrections have never seen that. Not only did the women turn up, they didn't flog them the computers or the earphones that we had there. They didn't break them. And they all passed. You know, that's unprecedented. So if you start to really think about models of trust and accountability, you actually get some great outcomes.
Returning to the book, what is the idea of the book? What do you hope to achieve with it?
To tell the story of Roar, to capture the story of Roar, to really share and showcase the journeys of the women. 50% of the women shared their stories using their names. There was 50% of them chose not to for a whole lot of different reasons. So, you know, I'm really wanting to give the public some insight to a different normal. Mm. You know, I mean, and some of the stories are pretty raw.
And we were just talking about, you know, call on employers to pay a living wage. Do you have a message for employers as well, or do you find employers are generally happy to employ these women on exiting prison?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an employer myself, obviously, from the fashion perspective. So it's not a space that I'm activating a conversation in. You know, from my point of view, I have no trouble getting jobs for these girls.
Really?
None at all. Or homes for these girls, especially if they're part of the Roar model. But for me, I'm not just looking for jobs. You know, I'm looking to put girls in spaces where they want to be. So if they want to do beauty, I'll go and talk to Casey. You know, if they want to do catering, I'll go and talk to large catering companies.
Right. So how is the reception when you do that?
It's great, because what I say to employers is that just come and meet me. All I'm asking you to do is come and meet me and talk to these women. They are so used to no. So if you meet these women and you decide you don't want to go ahead, we're all cool with that. So, and that's easy enough. People will generally agree to do that.
I've just remembered a conversation I had on Monday night. Is Montana Catering one of the organisations
they are.
You work with?
Yeah,
good
they
for
are.
Them.
And they've been amazing. They've been amazing. And they would have catered for the WinTech. You know, there's Foster Construction. There's Gallagher. I mean, they're
the
amazing.
The old Hamilton Network, eh?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Good for you. Any other message for people listening today?
No, I think for me it's about, you know, how we stop applying our normals to a very vulnerable population of women that I totally believe we can get real change for. I really do, but we've got to do things differently.
Are you encouraging, you say you've only got 20 copies, but are you printing more of these books? Are you trying to get people to buy them?
We flew 20 out and then we shipped the rest because it's such a big book. They arrive on Friday. So they're available on our website in the Anna Stretton stores. And, you know, well, they're pretty easy to get.
And sorry, I haven't got the exact title of the book. It's called Raw.
The Raw Truth.
The Raw Truth.
Yeah.
Great. Anna Stretton, who with her sister Rebecca has done some incredible work with people on the inside and on their way out. Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Jesse.